WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The casket of former President Jimmy Carter is now in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, where family and dignitaries are attending a memorial ceremony. Senate Chaplain Barry Black.
We thank you for the inspiration of a consequential and laudable life as we celebrate the legacy of James Earl Carter, Jr., the 39th President of the United States.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune also addressed the gathering.
I rejoice in the thought that he, together with his beloved wife, Rosalynn, is now before the face of his father.
After the service, Carter will lie in state there in the Capitol Rotunda as members of Congress pay their respects. Later, the public will be allowed in. Carter's funeral will be held Thursday at the National Cathedral. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Transportation have announced the opening of the first electric vehicle charging stations funded by the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Formula Program. According to a press release, the fast charging stations recently began operations at Quick Trips in Ashland, Menominee, and Chippewa Falls. Funding for the stations came from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Governor Evers has made expanding electric vehicle infrastructure a priority for the state to encourage more drivers to purchase the vehicles. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting an increase in gray wolf depredations on livestock in 2024. According to DNR data, 2024 saw 84 cases of confirmed or probable wolf depredations on livestock, up from 69 in 2023 and 49 in 2022. DNR officials also reported an increase in the number of wolf harassment complaints from residents. Managing the gray wolf population in the state has become a controversial topic, with lawmakers at odds over whether there should be a set wolf population goal or not. The Webster teenager accused of setting multiple mailboxes on fire in Barron County has officially been charged. According to court documents, the 17-year-old was charged with one count of possession of explosives for unlawful purpose, 8 counts of arson of property, and 10 counts of criminal damage to property. The mailbox fires were set on December 26th, and authorities located the suspect vehicle soon after, allegedly finding items that had been stolen from the mailboxes as well. A 15-year-old in the vehicle was also taken into custody. The Eau Claire Police Department is warning residents about a scam call circulating the area. Officials say a number of residents have reported receiving calls from someone claiming to be a detective, advising them of an unsolved legal matter they're involved in. The scam caller then attempts to get personal information or outright payment from the potential victim. Authorities are reminding residents that they will never ask them for payment over the phone, and they should hang up and call the department back directly if they suspect a scam call. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing 4 of their last 5, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction. Raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Another chilly night tonight under partly cloudy skies with lows near 6 above. Keeping it chilly on Wednesday with partly sunny skies, highs only in the mid-teens. And then warming up a bit on Thursday with partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-20s. Right now, it's 19 degrees.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. From from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Dangerous levels of lead have been found in some commercial baby foods. On the next show, we'll talk about how to protect your family with the campaign for lead-free water and Flint.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for joining me today. You can be a part of this fine program. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Got Aaron on the board. Jess, P.S., off today. Hopefully she'll join us tomorrow. But appreciate you, Aaron, for stepping up, stepping in. Folks, it's that time. We now have a president-elect, Donald Trump, and he wasted no time getting in front of the mic and laying down all his wisdom on us. Now, I know, folks. Dom, don't be playing all the Trump and don't be high. Oh, okay, we only got a little flavor each broccoli. Get used to it. You know, get back in game form, because there's going to be a lot of this coming up. And most of it's going to be crazy. It's a lot of crazy. And we should be kind of used to it when we had him 4 years. And then we went away for a while, and it was kind of crazy in the background, and, you know, the court cases and all the late night rage, truthy socially and whatnot. But somehow, some way, convinced all those megas to come out and do it all over again because it was so good last time. So he's out there, I guess, putting his priorities forward. His first press conference since they determined that he actually got the appropriate number of electoral votes to become the president. We heard the current vice president read those numbers off yesterday. So we have a few topics here. We got J6, some Hezbollah, Panama and Greenland. We got how we're going to, you know, push forward the legislative priorities of the mega. Will it be one big, beautiful bill, or will they be in two bills or multiple bills? And now we're going to be renaming the Gulf of Mexico, because obviously it says Mexico and you can't have that. So let's start at the top from the Trump press conference today. Folks, it was, I would say he's not getting any better. Let's play cut one, please.
Two questions related to each other. First, you said on your first day of office, you were going to pardon January 6th defendants. Are you planning to pardon those who were charged with violent offenses?
Well, we're looking at it, and we have other people in there. And as you see, I guess 24 or 28 people came now from the FBI. That came out very quietly. Nobody reported it, but they had people in some form related to the FBI. They had four or five people that were strongly related to the FBI. We have to find out about that. We have to find out about Hezbollah. We have to find out about who exactly was in that whole thing, because people that did some bad things were not prosecuted. You know, I see it all the time, and you see it too. People that were doing some bad things weren't prosecuted, and people that didn't even walk into the building are in jail right now.
Wow. I don't know.
That wasn't even the whole rant either.
Well, thank you for cutting it. I mean, I don't know what Hezbollah's got to do with that. So what, Trump is essentially making this an entrapment case? After Trump tweeted out, come down there, we'll be wild. After Trump riled them up at the rally, said, you got to fight like hell. I'm going to walk with you. You got to fight like hell. You're not going to have a country anymore. After all that, it was entrapment by the FBI. And his answer was not no. He did not say no. I will not pardon or commute those who have committed violent offenses. That's my takeaway from that particular cut. He didn't say no. He didn't, because they were beating ass for Trump. And if you're beating ass for Trump, Trump wants you on his team. What else we got? Oh, I mean, so Donald Trump, the Panama and Greenland thing. So he's still stuck on the Greenland, apparently very, very important for national security. And in Panama, I mean, I think he might be still mad that they took down his sign at the Trump Hotel in Panama. I'm a little mad I left my earbuds in the airport there, but whatever. We all got our things with Panama. I thought Panama was a great country. Trump not so happy about it. Maybe they're looking into his fraudulent taxes? Question mark. Not sure. Let's hear what Trump had to say about Panama and Greenland. Foreign policy, very important to lower the cost of eggs. Cut two.
But can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No.
And can you tell us a little bit about what your plan is? Are you going to negotiate a new treaty? Are you going to ask the Canadians to hold a vote? What is the strategy? Yeah,
I can't assure you. You're talking about Panama and Greenland. No, I can't assure you on either of those two. But I can say this. We need them for economic security. The Panama Canal was built for our military. I'm not going to commit to that now. It might be that you'll have to do something. Look, the Panama Canal is vital to our country. It's being operated by China. China. And we gave the Panama Canal to Panama. We didn't give it to China.
No, he did claim in the past there are Chinese troops at the Panama Canal. No, that's not the case. Not the case at all. So what, we're going to bomb Panama Canal if they don't give us back Panama Canal? What, Aaron, what's he thinking?
I have no idea, but he did. He did also claim that there are Chinese boats off the coast of Greenland.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there's international waters, man. There's boats everywhere. But again, you know, I don't recall this foreign policy specifically, you know, in the months leading up to the election. Man, what was it? It was inflation. It was the border, right? The cost of eggs. Damn eggs. Now he's going off on these kinds of tangents. And so the question is, and let's think about Greenland for just a moment, right? Property of Denmark, I guess, right? Kingdom of Denmark, a NATO ally. So if we go and start sending troops into Greenland, a NATO ally, doesn't the NATO, they have an agreement that any attack on a NATO country is an attack on all of NATO, and then all of NATO is obligated to respond? I mean, I know Trump's not a big fan because of his Russian influences. Yeah, go ahead. Conservatives, I know what you're thinking, but you know it's true. Come on, man. This guy loves himself some strongmen. So he couldn't, you can't just, you know, unilaterally pull us out of NATO. I mean, we do have treaties and obligations. I mean, these are things that Donald Trump knows nothing about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a guy who was married three times. You know what I mean? Declared bankruptcy a few times. Didn't, he went through life, you know, not paying some folks sometimes. So, you know, the thought of obligation to a guy like Donald Trump, of commitment, of following through, those things, you know, don't really quite register with the narcissist megalomaniac that he is. So if you look at this, there's this posturing. Well, posturing for what? You're going to have a NATO versus NATO? Man, you know, Russia would love that. These kinds of activities, this kind of posturing, right? Whatever you want to call it, boy, our adversaries love it. They just absolutely love it. And if you're sitting there and you're a mega and all of a sudden on your head is, oh, my God, we got to have Greenland for our national security. Well, where was that thought last year? 4 years ago, 10 years ago, if you're concerned about our national security with regards to Greenland and Denmark, couldn't we, you know, have diplomatic relations enhanced, further agreements? You know, go out and tell people you're going to buy them. Well, what if they don't want to be bought? Then you're going to forcibly buy them? Donald Trump, that's your bright idea? And how does that lower the cost of eggs? But we do need Greenland for security purposes. Nobody knows if Denmark has any legal right. This, nobody knows. I mean, all these things in the world that nobody knows, you know, when he says these things, of course, that means Trump doesn't know. And Trump thinks he's everything. So if he doesn't know, nobody knows. And see how that works? See how that works, folks? Let's hear what he had to say. Cut three, please, Aaron.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time.
People
you have approximately
45,000
people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world.
You know, I think Brazil wants Texas. Did I hear that? Do you hear it? Yeah, Brazil. We're just going to throw it out against the wall, see what happens. I mean, who wants Texas? Does anybody want Texas? Hell, Texas, half of Texas doesn't even want to be part of this country, if I'm reading the tea leaves right, down in Texas. What are you talking about? Nobody knows. It means I don't know. Let's move on. Let's jump down to cut number five, kind of in this whole vein of thing. Next bright idea from Donald Trump to lower the cost of eggs. Cut number five.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America. What a beautiful name.
I mean, what, dude? I don't know. I'm sure somebody knows. I'm not going to say nobody knows how the Gulf of Mexico got its name, but it's always been that since I was born. And you know what? I never questioned it. Never cared enough. Now, I had a couple of thoughts on renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Does he know it's spelled G-U-L-F? And not
I think
G-O-L-F?
If you tell him he's gonna
L-F.
Yeah, I think if you tell Gulf? Him it's not G-O-L-F, he's probably gonna stop saying this.
You're right, dude. You totally got it wrong. And really, let's just cut to the chase. Let's call it the Gulf of Trump. Right? Doesn't he put his name on everything? It's the Gulf of Trump. All right. I promise the last two short little cuts from Donald Trump today. I think these are pretty much the lowlights. I think you get the gist. Let's play cut number four, please.
If two is more certain, it does go a little bit quicker because you can do the immigration stuff early. The question is whether or not we do the two bills or one bill. And, you know, look, I can live either way. I like the idea of the one big bill, but I can live either way.
Ooh, he likes the idea of the one big bill, but the other day he only wanted the one big bill. He really wanted. And so what? He's getting some pushback from, well, Republicans in the Senate, perhaps? Because, listen, every time you stack more things into one bill, you're peeling people off. You might get some Dems who are down for some additional border security enhancements, but certainly don't want to extend the Trump tax cuts. So you throw all those things into one bill. Well, I'm now they have to choose which one do I prioritize over the other. Am I more concerned about, you know, giveaways to the rich that are going to increase our national debt in a time we should be taxing them more? Or am I more concerned about, you know, the what's going on at the border? Well, you stack everything into one bill, and next thing you go, you got different people with different political situations and ideologies and philosophies. They're going to have to balance and bounce those things around instead of putting, you know, one bill, one topic. I get it. Given the circumstances in the House and the very, very historically narrow margin that the Republican mega House has, you know, I'm not sure that the Republicans are convinced that they can pass more than one bill. So watch this space. We'll see how that plays out. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Some updates on the Trump legal battles. Some good, some bad. Stick around. You'll find out which is which.
The windmills are driving the whales crazy, obviously. We're also at a golden...
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Some of you folks are jumping in here. Let's get to some of you texters before we move on to the updates on the Trump cases. Mark from the SAC, he follows up from what I see from reputable fact-checked organizations. Information from the J6 committee was not destroyed. What I did see was that Rep. Bernie Thompson explained the select committee did not archive temporary committee records that were not elevated by the committee's actions, such as the for use in hearings, official publications, or those that did not further its investigative activities. Mark from Sussex and CJ are just repeating Trumpster falsehoods. And that's a good point. I've seen similar reporting on that as well. I mean, not every piece of paper on everything is kept all the time. And there are limitations to that. Hell, even here in the state of Wisconsin, when former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman, the hack who was hired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republicans, to, you know, give some cover for the lies about election interference and so forth. Well, he destroyed all sorts of records, like literally almost everything. Didn't even have a policy on anything. He got sued. The state of Wisconsin got sued because, of course, he was acting on our behalf and lost, you know, so we had to pony up some money for that. So if there were to be a case where J6 were to have done something like that, perhaps there would be some lawsuits for that. My understanding as well. Listen, what you're going to tell me that there's what the J6 committee destroyed exculpatory evidence on Donald Trump? Yeah, I'd love to see it. You know what I mean? If there's something that would exonerate Donald Trump, I want to see it. But unfortunately, we don't have that case because all you Trumpsters voted him in, and now we're not going to know. And maybe won't even know when do we get the report from Jack Smith. We'll talk about that next. Another one here from the 262. I hate Trump, but my brother lives in Panama, and he says that China is controlling the ports because they lease the ports to Panama, and when Panama defaults on the lease, they own it. Interesting concept. Not clear how that would play out, but if China is providing investment into building out ports, well, one would wonder perhaps why. Where's America's leadership in that regard, if that's to be the case? And number two, just because you default on a lease, if that were to be the case, and if I'm taking this at your word, there's still processes to rectify those situations. I don't think under any circumstances there's going to be, you know, Chinese tanks and military manning those ports. It ain't going to happen. It's not happened. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. Hey, if Trump's concerned about saying it's going to happen, then I could say it ain't going to happen. And then we'll see who's right, because, you know, a lot of things Trump says usually don't end up being quite as they are. To Mark's point, I think there is one of the successes and driving reasons that Donald Trump is able to, you know, kind of, I think, pull the wool is there's a little, you know, really good liars have a little bit of truth in the things that they say. You know, and just enough to get you over the hump. And when you do that, when it's an outright blatant lie, you know, those are easy. But when you have a kernel of truth, hey, here's some statistics. Hey, there's some FBI folks that have now been reported that were in the crowd. When he's talking about, you know, 26 or four. And we covered this when that report came out. They claim that they didn't have any, the FBI claims they had no specific FBI assets themselves, FBI employees, but they did have some perhaps quote unquote assets of varying levels in the crowd. And I would fully expect when you have a crowd like that, number one, let's just throw that out there. If you have a crowd like that coming to D.C. full of Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Three Percenters and militias and all those kinds of things. And we know from what the FBI has given reports to Congress themselves that one of the biggest concerns we have in this country is you know, militia, right-wing, violent type stuff. Think New Orleans, like that kind of stuff, but on a grander scale with multiple people and greater conspiracy, right? Those things. Now, you have... If the FBI is concerned about that kind of activity from those kinds of groups and that kind of activity and those kinds of groups, and they're bringing that activity to D.C., man, you know, I would hope someone's got some ears on it, some eyes on it. You know what I mean? Otherwise, what are we doing? And even with that seemingly logical common sense, oh, my God, look at all these people. What's going on? You know, the cavalry did not come because these were Trump's people, man. He couldn't start just firing into the crowd of Trumpsters. That wouldn't go right. That'd be bad. Those are his people. Go home, you're beautiful. We love you. 3 hours later. So, point being, there is a kernel, just a snippet. When Trump says these things, he takes a piece of this article, a piece of that, and he bounces around in his old melon, and he spits out the lies that are going to benefit him or whatever his point is, or whatever his activity is, whatever he's trying to accomplish in that very moment, not tomorrow, not a week from now, in that very moment. Because a guy like Donald Trump, he will change. Oh, I want one big beautiful bill. You got to do it. Oh, well, I guess I'd be okay with two bills. Oh, okay. So were you lying then, or you're lying now? I mean, or did you get pulled in by the Senate or by some folks to say, you know what, that's not going to work. You're not going to get that, Donald Trump. Here's the reality. So, you know, maybe there's some of that. But the most effective lies are the ones that have just a little bit of truth to them, just a little bit to keep you interested, to keep you gnawing, to keep you around, to keep you repeating over and over and over again. Oh, J6, they destroyed everything. Huh? No, that's not the case. 855-752-4842. All right, I know I kind of talked a little bit long in this, but here's the downside. Good news or bad news? Well, here's the bad news from the Associated Press. Judge temporarily blocks release of special counsel report on Trump cases as court fight simmers. Oh, man, why can't we get anything? I wanted this for Christmas. So I will get into what the specifics of this are. And this is interesting. I mean, there are other defendants involved. This is not just solely about Donald Trump. So maybe I can give a little, you know, hat tip to that specific issue. But we're not going to have a trial, at least anytime soon, about anything that matters with regards to Donald Trump and what he did and what he was engaged in and who was with him and what happened with J6. And I'm more concerned about the J6 than I am about the documents case in Florida. Folks, we're going to come back with that topic and your calls as well, 855-752-4842. Oh, the Judge Cannon, you know, Trump appointed her. Come back with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority have announced $2 million in grant funding to improve living conditions for those struggling with housing insecurity. According to a press release, 52 organizations across the state will receive a portion of the funding for projects that improve emergency shelters, transitional housing, and extremely low-income housing. Access to affordable housing has become a major issue in many areas as the unhoused population continues to grow across the state. The application period for the Recovery High School's planning grant is now open. The grant program seeks to support the development of recovery high schools, which are better equipped to meet the needs of students overcoming substance abuse challenges. Applicants could receive as much as $100,000 per grant through the Department of Public Instruction. The program was established in 2023 through Act 72, and more information on the program and the application materials can be found on the Act 72 website. The city of Menominee is reminding residents not to dump anything into the storm drains on the streets. City officials say they recently received reports of motor oil being dumped down one of the storm drains. They're reminding residents that the storm drains flow directly into Lake Monoman, as well as the Red Cedar River, Galloway Creek, and other waterways. They're also reminding residents that dumping things like motor oil, paint, or concrete washout is illegal, and that the city solid waste site accepts used motor oil for free. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is seeking applicants to be the next Rusk County Sheriff. According to a press release, current Sheriff Jeffrey Wallace is planning to retire in April with nearly 2 years left on his term. Qualified applicants can find the Register of Deeds, Coroner, and Sheriff application materials on the Apply to Serve section of the governor's official website. Applications must be submitted by 5 p.m. on January 31st. Applicants can also contact the governor's Office of Legal Counsel for more information on the process. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. Another chilly night tonight under partly cloudy skies with lows near 6 above. Keeping it chilly on Wednesday with partly sunny skies, highs only in the mid-teens. And then warming up a bit on Thursday with partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-20s. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Thank you for hanging out with me. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. It's a text line. It's a phone line. and you can be a part. Good news, bad news on the Trump legal fronts today. We'll start out with the bad news. As reported, as mentioned at the Associated Press, Eileen Cannon, remember her? Oh, yeah. She temporarily blocked the public release of Special Counsel Jack Smith's report on investigations into Trump as an appeal court weighs a challenge to the disclosure of a much-anticipated document just days before the president-elect reclaims office. Now, the ruling from Cannon may represent a short-lived victory for Trump, let's hope so, but it's nonetheless the latest instance of the Trump-appointed jurist taking action in the Republicans' favor. What? Say it ain't so! The halt followed an emergency request Monday by defense lawyers to block the release of a report that they said would be one-sided and prejudicial. Trump's team was expected to respond later today, and I believe they have. We'll get to that as well. Now, Trump responded to Cannon's order, you know, that's his appointee, by complaining anew at a news conference about Smith's investigation, saying, quote, it'll be a fake report just like it was a fake investigation. Now, the AP continues, it was unclear what the Justice Department, which has its own guidelines governing special counsels and the reports that they are expected to produce when they conclude their own, intended to do following Cannon's orders. Now, the two-volume report is expected to describe charging decisions made in separate investigations by Jack Smith into Trump's hoarding of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago and Palm Beach and his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. So those are the two topics, let's call it, the two-volume report. Now, Cannon's order did not make a distinction between the two volumes, instead barring the release of any information from any report until 3 days after the matter is resolved by the Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, unless the court's orders otherwise. Now, Smith pledged earlier in the day that at least the volume on the documents investigation. Let me repeat that. Trump pledged earlier in the day that at least the volume on the documents investigation would not be made public by Justice Department before 10 a.m. Friday at the earliest, though the decision on what to make public ultimately rests with Attorney General Merrick Garland. Oh, God. Come on, Merrick. Now, we know Trump was charged along with two co-defendants in the classified documents case, which was dismissed by Cannon. You know why that case was dismissed? Well, she concluded that Smith's appointment was illegal. No, wait, special counsel? We don't do those here. That's illegal. Well, of course, we have used special counsels in this country, and we have continued to do so, dating back to, what, 1875 and then into the 40s and 50s and teapot scandal and so forth. Yes, we have used special counsels in the past. This is not this was an outlying ruling on her part that is under appeal right now. And if this is done properly and judiciously, I'd expect she would lose that. But again, there's two other co-defendants in this case. Now, Smith's teams abandoned both of the cases in November after Trump won, citing Justice Department policy that prohibits federal prosecutions of sitting president. Now, lawyers for Trump, including Todd Blanche, who was picked by Trump to serve as deputy attorney general, urged Garland in a letter made public on Monday to block the release of the report and to remove Smith from his position promptly or defer the release of the report to the incoming attorney general. Yeah, how's that going to go? Hey, Pam Bondi, should we release the report, the charging decisions, why we decided to move forward? Or should we keep that hidden from the people? I think I want to know. Don't you want to know? I mean, don't you want to know? If your folks are out there, if you megas out there, if you think this is all just a bunch of hogwash, you think this is all just a witch hunting, political persecution, and lawfare, and call it what you want. You think that Donald Trump is somehow just being targeted because he's Donald Trump? Well, certainly the reports would be footnoted and have the evidence along with it, right? That would tell you whether or not he did that. Could you believe it? Because there are other reports. We'll get to that next. Anyway, Blanche said, using language that mimicked Trump's own attacks on Smith and his work, Blanche told Garland that the, quote, release of any confidential report prepared by this out-of-control private citizen unconstitutionally posing as a prosecutor would be nothing more than a lawless political stunt designed to politically harm President Trump and justify the huge sums of taxpayer money Smith unconstitutionally spent on his failed and dismissed cases. I mean, you know, these guys are just such gaslighters. I mean, the only reason these things are dismissed is because the guy won, which is bunk number one. Number two, he's not an out-of-control private citizen unconstitutionally posing as a prosecutor. I know that's what Eileen Cannon said, but the history would show that that is, in fact, not the case. But I get it. But I guess the question is, how many times can Trump's attorneys say the word unconstitutionally in one sentence? 855-752-4842. Be patient. We'll get to you momentarily. Now, that letter from Blanche to Garland was included in an emergency request filed late Monday with Cannon by lawyers for Trump's co-defendants in the documents case. Trump valet Walt Nauta and Mar-a-Lago property manager Carlos de Oliveira, they asked Cannon to block the report's release, noting that Smith's appeal of her decision or her dismissal of charges against the men is pending and that the disclosure of pejorative information about them would be prejudicial. Now, you know, that's something to be said because these guys are still on the hook, right? So I'll pause there. Now, in response to that request, Smith's team said that said in a two-page filing early on Tuesday, that's today, that it intended to submit its report to AG Garland by Tuesday afternoon and that the volume pertaining to the classified documents investigation would not be made public before 10 o'clock on Friday. It is presumed that both volumes of Smith's report would be released simultaneously. Justice Department regulation calls for special counsels appointed by the Attorney General to submit a confidential report at the conclusion of their investigations. Now, Garland has made public in their entirety. Let me repeat this concluding paragraph for MAGA. Garland has made public in their entirety the reports produced by special counsels who operated under his watch, including Robert Hur's report on President Joe Biden's handling of classified information and John Durham's report on the FBI Russian election interference investigation. And how many times have our conservative friends thrown into our face, oh, John Durham, John Durham, John Durham. Well, how would you know anything about that report if it was not released? Well, it was released. Should this be released? I mean, I think so. And I do. And I get it. Listen, the other defendants, I mean, they have a right. They have a right too. You don't want, you know, people to be prejudiced against them. I understand that. I'm not clear, you know, not the attorney, perhaps, when I get James Santel in. He's going to do a different day. He's coming in on Thursday. So this will be a topic for our former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. He plays out 9 to 11 on Saturdays. I'll drill down on this with him because I am concerned about other people that are also caught up in these crimes, right? It's one thing for the president, now the president-elect and soon-to-be president, you know, to get a pass on it. Well, these guys are still in it. You know, as far as I am aware, these cases could still continue. I would assume that the special counsel ruling would be overturned, but again, they're still going to appeal that as well. I want to see the information come out. I don't want it, you know, redacted to the nth degree. Don't we want to know? Don't you want to know, MAGA Republicans? Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. I mean, maybe you don't. Reality sucks sometimes.
I also feel like that was one of the biggest points of the cases that Jack Smith has been working on in general is just truth, letting the American people know before the election. Well, it's too late for that, but it's better late than never.
I mean, yes, I would always take more information. I mean, but, you know, timing does matter. And we do, as you know, we put a lot of blame on Garland in this situation. But, you know, as an American citizen who had to witness January 6th, and, I, you know, it, as far as the documents case and the hoarding of the secret documents, I mean, you know, we know what we know. I mean, we saw the pictures of everything, and, you know, piled up in his bathroom, but whatever, boxes are boxes. It's not what the boxes, what's in the boxes. What is the value? What was done? How was that parlayed or leveraged? Do we know? Were people put at risk? Will our adversaries fear us, and will our allies trust us? You know, these are the things that we as a nation have to consider when we're thinking about a guy like Donald Trump. And it's not, as I mentioned before, this the lies that turns, you know, that helps spin the conversation to his way. You know, the little bit of truth with a bunch of lies and mix it all up and it's, you know, spit it out, and it'll be easier for some folks to digest and maybe accept. We know that part of it, but we need. I don't. Don't you want to know? I want to know. 855-752-4842. I would have rather have had this evidence presented to a jury. You know what I'm saying? Because now even when it comes out, you know what the reaction is going to be. Oh, this is all way. That's just how it goes. That's how it's going to be. Everything's a persecution. Everything's is all just poor woe is me. You know, for a guy who claims to be or projects to be a strong man, he is very weak. And when a guy cracks like that, when someone can get under your skin that easily, he's not strong. You know what I'm saying? If someone can get to you that quick, you're not you don't have a strong constitution, let's say. 855-752-4842. But I would reiterate, they released Robert Herr's report on Biden's handling of the classified documents and Durham's report on the Russian election interference investigation. So certainly, if you were MAGAs and you thought that was appropriate and the people have a right to know in those circumstances, certainly you would agree that Jack Smith should release his information, at least as it pertains to Donald Trump. And we got to do a workaround with the other cats that are also dialed up in this one. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy days, Tom. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, Tom. I hope that somehow Jack Smith can just leak it so we don't have to have all this redacted stuff. And we can actually see
leak and unredacted. You know what? If you're doing it, you know, if you're sneaking around the FBI or the Justice Department in the back rooms of the filing cabinets, why don't you pull out the unredacted Mueller report while you're at it as well? You know, there's a lot of things I want to see. And don't get me going on Area 51.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. Now, this is just craziness. The whole thing is you know, he probably doesn't even know that Greenland's not green and that Iceland's not that ice
green.
It.
It's a beautiful green. We're going to have the best golf course there. It's beautiful.
It's all ice.
It's all ice. Oh, my God. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you listening out in California. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842. All right, so that's the bad news, right? That's the bad news. But as the AP points out, this could be short-lived. You know, we're going to have to hang around and see how this all plays out. But I tell you what, while I remain always, generally optimistic, you got to think, you know, something's going to break at some point. And then I wonder, like, what kind of information is in this report that we won't know? Then I also wonder, even if it comes out, what will be redacted that we won't know? You know, this whole, and then we end up getting just enough to barely wet our whistle. You know what I'm saying? And so I will be unsatisfied, probably. That's how these things roll. I don't remember a report that's come out against Donald Trump or have an investigation into Trump where I was like, oh, this is great. I mean, I've seen the Mueller report, read most of it, actually got it saved on the computer. You can do word searches on the PDF. It's pretty amazing, but there's a lot of redactedness in there. And what came of it? Well, nothing, man. You know, Barr, they squashed it. And the fact that they didn't go after Donald Trump on the 8 or 10 counts of obstruction of justice because he was a sitting president. Literally, that's why they said they did not go after him, because they couldn't. He's a sitting president. That's the policy of the Justice Department. Well, okay. So then Donald Trump's like, see, nothing to see here. Well, that's the whole thing. The guy obstructed justice into the investigation. You know, the cover-up and the crime. You see what I'm saying? But there was a lot of redactions on there, and I was left wholly, not wholly unsaid. I was unsatisfied with that. Too much redactions. In this case, I kind of expect, man, you know, I have high hopes, and then Garland just crushes them. And so, and this justice being doled out at different levels for people like Donald Trump, and then for, you know, the folks that he convinced to go down to the Capitol and attack the police officers and try to stop the count and overthrow the government. You know, those folks, we talked about the 11 of them that were here in the state of Wisconsin that got charged and convicted and so forth. You know, they went through it. Donald Trump, all these years later, still gets a pass. Man, when are rich white people going to catch a break in this world? Come back with us one final segment. We'll get to the good news on the Donald Trump front. 855-752-4842.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect.
A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 2024 election was certified January 6th by Congress with no objections, accusations of fraud, or violent mobs. Why was it, well, blissfully boring? Vice President Kamala Harris handed each state's Electoral College letters of certification to tellers, who then read them out loud. When complete, the total was announced and Trump was declared the winner. The whole process took less than 30 minutes. What changed? The Electoral Count Reform Act was implemented, making it harder for Congress to derail certification. Election rules were tightened in many states, but in battleground Michigan, where voter access was dramatically expanded, Trump won. After losing in 2020, he claimed widespread voter fraud in Detroit. Hand-counting activists have also been curiously silent. Were the voting machines different this time? Electronic ballot tabulators, the target of conspiracy theories and multi-million dollar lawsuits, are still on the job and recognized as far more accurate and less costly than hand-counting. What about the legions of undocumented immigrants Trump claimed last October would vote illegally? There was no widespread evidence of non-citizen voting in this or any other U.S. election. Other than no criminal conspiracy to overthrow the result, not much did change. Our 2024 election was secured by many of the same heroic election officials doing the blissfully boring work of democracy. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
All the justice, pain and greed, money talking. Power won't be sent to door, feel stucky. Soon you'll please them.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Talking about the bad news, Trump's toady Eileen Cannon, well, she's putting a kibosh on Jack Smith's voluminous release of his investigations into the hoarding, the document, secret document hoarding cases in Mar-a-Lago, and of course, Trump's role, you know, if any, in the January 6th insurrection. They don't want to see that, and I guess I understand why. Probably doesn't bode well for the president. But the other side of it, the good news is, well, that one's not done yet, but that's just the order of the day. Here's today on NBC. A New York appellate judge allows Trump's Friday hush money sentencing to go forward. What? Usually we have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, on Friday, scheduling conflicts this week. He's going to join me on Thursday, and Earl Ingram's going to join me on Friday. So I'm curious to see if this actually comes to fruition. A little bit from the reporting at NBC, Justice Ellen Gesmer rejected the emergency stay request following brief arguments between Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche. Man, that guy's busy. And a lawyer from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Blanche, she cried all the time. You know how he says, oh, nothing we see here. Should have to go through the legal process. She's got absolute immunity, yada, yada, yada. I'm paraphrasing. Now, Stephen Wu of the Manhattan DA's office urged the judge to reject the request. Here's what Stephen Wu said. This is a claim that the president-elect is entitled to immunity, and there is no support for that. Adding that the claim is so baseless that there is no basis for any kind of stay here. There is only one president at a time. We've heard that before as well. Let's see what else we got here. In a brief ruling, the judge wrote this one sentence. After consideration of the papers submitted and the extensive oral argument, Movis' application for an interim stay is denied. Denied, baby! Now, Blanche, who Trump said he would nominate to be his deputy attorney general, a lot of reporting on that today as well, did not comment after leaving court. Now, we know Mershon initially postponed Trump's scheduled sentencing of July last year in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, set a new standard for presidential immunity. Yeah, thank you, U.S. Supreme Court. Man. Now, Merchan found in the ruling last month that Trump does not have immunity until he's sworn in as president. A separate order last week, the judge directed Trump's sentencing on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to take place Friday morning and said he plans on giving him unconditional discharge. Remember that? Yeah, you're guilty as hell on those 34 felonies now. Go home and have a Fresca. I mean, what's the punishment? Unconditional discharge. That means the conviction would stand, but he would not be subject to any punishment. You know, I got a lot of trouble when I was a kid. I can't imagine why. And, you know, just, you know, usually innocent, mischievous kinds of things. But usually if I was got in trouble and got convicted, there was some sort of punishment because, you know, it doesn't really matter if, isn't that the whole thing? If there's no consequence, then why would someone stop doing the act? Merchan rejected Trump's request for a stay on Monday. That was yesterday. A little more here from NBC. Pardon me. Prosecutors from Manhattan DA's Alvin Bragg's office said in a court filing Monday that there's no reason to delay the sentencing any longer. Quote, the DA's office also contended that there is now is the least burdensome time for Trump to be sentenced. Now? Now? As president-elect, Trump has no viable claim of presidential immunity from ordinary criminal process and is not yet engaged in any official presidential functions that would be disrupted by the sentencing. Yeah, I mean, okay, so maybe Friday, we'll see. Maybe Friday he'll be sentenced to nothing. And, you know, and Donald Trump's still going to fight like hell the whole time because he does not want to be. Regardless of punishment, regardless of consequence, does not want to be a convicted felon. The F word, the different F word for Donald Trump, that would make him very mad because he's got such a vision of himself. Hell, man, he's twice elected president of the United States. He's Donald Trump, man. He can do no wrong. He's got millions and millions of followers that seemingly will do anything that he asks. How could Donald Trump ever do anything wrong except for the fact that, you know, 34 felony counts of falsifying business records that other people in New York have been and continue to be and will be in the future charged with, presumably, if the evidence is there, convicted of and given a sentence, probably other than unconditional discharge, which is kind of like what I have coming up the back of my throat every time I think about Donald Trump getting away with it, because that's really what it comes down to. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. I appreciate every single one of you hanging out with me today on this fine Tuesday. Now, stick around later on in this. We have Pete Schwabe coming up at the Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is coming up next. A little rundown for what's going on tomorrow. Matt Rothschild is going to join me in studio once again. Always fun to catch up with Matt. And as mentioned, a little schedule change for the end of the week. On Thursday, we're going to have James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. He plays out on Saturdays on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. And in doing so, Earl Ingram going to join me on Fridays. Man, love to hang out with Earl. Going to catch up with him. I'm going to get his take on what goes down. What happens on Friday? Will Donald Trump face judgment? Will he be sentenced, even if it's to nothing? We're going to get Earl's take on that as well. Folks, we appreciate you. Now stick around. As mentioned, Pete Schwabe, Nightlight, coming up next. Have a great evening. We'll see you here tomorrow.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Former President Jimmy Carter is now lying in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda after a moving memorial service there. House Speaker Mike Johnson addressed the gathering.
Jimmy Carter was a member of the greatest generation. He lived through the Great Depression. He did that on a farm in rural Georgia. He knew the value of a dollar, and he modeled thrift his entire life.
Johnson added Carter also hated government waste. Vice President Kamala Harris touted Carter's work ethic, honesty, integrity, and generosity of spirit.
Jimmy Carter established a new model for what it means to be a former president and leaves an extraordinary post-presidential legacy.
Harris says Carter left the world better than he found it. His funeral will be Thursday at the National Cathedral. CBS News Special Report, I'm Michael Wallace.
Local